Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Ian Rappaport, National Insider for the NFL Network and NFL.com, and host of the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast. Ian will be with us every Wednesday at about 2:17 p.m. during the football season to talk about NFL news. Ian, we're really looking forward to this, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, guys. I'm really looking forward to this as well. I think we're gonna have a good time here.
We are. Let's start today in New England. New England Patriots obviously trade for one of the more physically gifted wide receivers that we've seen in Josh Gordon. Obviously, he's had various issues. Do you think this is a good fit?
I think it's a good risk. You know, I mean, look, it's any receiver who's good fits in the Patriots offense, or any receiver who's smart and good would really, really fit. I think with Josh Gordon, he's probably the most electric, just talented, pure physical talented receiver I've seen in a long time. And I mean, just think about what he's done. He's been very public with this. He used to do shots before games. He would take bong hits. He was on a lot of drugs, as he's mentioned in his interviews with GQ. And he did all of that and performed better than any other receiver on the field during those seasons, 2013, 2014. So if he is clean now, and clearly all is not completely well because he just got released by the Browns. If he is clean now, then he'll be like Randy Moss was. And if he's not, then all the Patriots give back, you know, all the Patriots lose is a fifth-round pick. So to me, and, you know, if he's great, he's under their control for 2 years. So that, to me, is an acceptable risk and something that could pay off big.
So was it the fact that he got injured during a promo shoot? Is that what happened?
It was part of it. I mean, yes, that is what happened, but it is part of it. Now, other part of it was he came in late that day. He had been late several times. And I think if you're the Browns, you know, look, if you're the Patriots and you're starting new with Josh Gordon, if he's late one time, you know, I think he probably will not get cut. If you're the Browns and you've been dealing with this for 5 years, and behavior has not changed, you're not getting what you want on the field, at some point it's like, okay, we're just going to move on. So I think it was just collective lack of trust and simply the Browns had had enough.
Ian Rappaport with us at Rap Sheet on Twitter. Must follow if you enjoy the NFL. And if you're listening to us, you enjoy the NFL. So do it.
Ian, what in the world is going on in Pittsburgh? Goodness.
I mean, you know, look, if you asked me this a week ago, I would say start talking about Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
But now the what's going on in Pittsburgh topic has changed to Antonio Brown and not showing up on Monday and blowing up on the sidelines and, you know, wanting more downfield targets. And the Steelers are incredibly talented. I think, you know, that's not a surprise. It seems every year we kind of do this where there's a couple weeks where you wonder about lack of discipline and the voices in the locker room, and is it going to be too much to control? And in the end, they're always in the playoffs. But God, don't you think at some point it's going to catch up to them and just, you I don't know. I mean, it's a lot for any coach, even Mike Tomlin, to handle.
Is Mike Tomlin, is there just a lack of discipline? Is he too much of a player's coach and players get away with too much? I mean, that's kind of the conversation now is put it on Tomlin, maybe?
Yeah, and I don't know that it's his fault. Now, first of all, as an organization, they are not a team that fines guys a lot. They're not a team that, you know, goes after and overly imposes discipline. I mean, there was a situation last year where Martavis Bryant was, you know, missing practices and never got fined. He would, you know, say he had a migraine. He would say he was sick. He would go home, and it just continued. I mean, there's been a lot of things. There's been a real lot of things. And that's just kind of the way the Steelers do it. They're not a program that, you know, punishes guys for stuff like this. A lot of times they just let their guys be, and they have some great players, and sometimes with great players comes big personalities. And I think Tomlin does a great job of focusing everyone on the field when it's time. The problem is when you have a guy, for instance, not showing up for work, then You know, at what point do you draw the line?
Let's go back to New England for a second, if we can, Ian. Most sports fans have at least seen excerpts from Ian O'Connor's book about Bill Belichick. How close, because we sort of watched in awe of what a debacle this summer was around New England. How close did things really get to ending for Tom Brady and the Patriots this offseason?
You know, to my understanding, not close. And, you know, I'm probably going to read the book. Ian O'Connor is great. He's one of my favorite authors / writers. And I mean that, but you know, honestly, that was kind of stuff we were talking about last year around playoff time, when it was, you know, pretty clear that there was all was not well in the relationship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And I'll say now what I said at the time, which is, it's the greatest working relationship in sports history. They are not best friends. They have never been best friends. They just work incredibly well together. And so, it didn't surprise me that at some point Brady said, you know, I deserve not to be treated like an undrafted rookie. And it makes sense if Belichick says, well, you know, you're the best guy, so I need to show everyone that I can treat you the same. And then there was the issue with Tom Brady's trainer. So they have worked all those things out. And, you know, they really have kind of reached an understanding where Alex Guerrero, the trainer, gets the access he needs to Brady, to Gronk, and no one really talks about it. That's kind of their compromise. But I don't, I mean, there was definitely frustration, but from what I am told, it never got to a point of anyone leaving or the marriage being over.
I got to hand it to Dirk Cutter and the Bucks. That sure seemed like it was going to be a disaster down there, but it's been the complete opposite. As a matter of fact, we're seeing Fitz magic now on a weekly basis. is Jameis going to have a nice view from the bench even after he returns? It sure looks like that might be the case right now.
Yeah, I think it probably will. I just don't know how long it's going to be. And you know, it's really, if you look back at Fitzpatrick's career with all the teams, and I mean, I'm pretty sure it actually has been all the teams, including yours, by the way.
Yes, yeah.
First time I met him was actually on a field for a Tennessee game. It was really, you know, he always sort of resorts back. And if you just hang with him enough, I mean, the Jets did it too. He had 10 wins, was great. They gave him a big contract, and he turned back into a pumpkin. So I don't know if that's going to be the case, but history at least shows us that it will be. So what it sounds like the Bucks are going to do is just say, you know what, Jameis is coming back. Well, actually, it's next this Monday now, a couple of days. They play on Monday night. It's going to be a short week. There's no point in rushing him back. So Jameis, just hang out there, get back on the field whenever, get back in practice, and whenever it's time, it'll be time. And I kind of like that approach because if you're winning games, there's no reason to force anything ever.
Is there a chance that those Bud Light Victory free beer refrigerators around Cleveland open this week finally?
Yes. I mean, tomorrow, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so, tomorrow. That's right. Thursday night.
I mean, you know, we can all make fun of Cleveland. Well, we all do make fun of Cleveland. Not we as a reporter group, but we as a nation. Very quietly, they are building a team that's not terrible. And I know they haven't won a game yet, so this all probably sounds ridiculous. But if you just watch them play, that defense is just nasty. I mean, the nation is going to see Myles Garrett on the field tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be like, holy cow, I cannot believe this guy is this good, because he is great. And the rest of the defense is really good. The offense is okay. The quarterback is okay. Pretty clear Baker Mayfield not quite ready yet. I mean, and you know, if you're Sam Darnold, the rookie quarterback, you got to face Greg Williams. Like, that's really tough. So I would say the Browns probably have as good a chance tomorrow night as they've had in a long time. And they had a tie recently, too.
Ian Rappaport with us. The Titans, Ian, beat the Texans, obviously, 20-17 on Sunday. I think Titans fans were encouraged by what they saw in terms of the big picture. The Titans had a strong game plan. They were creative, and they executed that plan well despite severe personnel limitations. What do you see from them and that coaching staff? It's tough to get anything from the Miami game because it was so crazy, but things went well last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I know there are a lot of people that have their doubts with the Titans just around the league, other GMs, coaches, young coaching staff, no experience, I mean, except for DNPs, but not a lot of experience. A quarterback that I think some people were kind of up and down on.
Yeah.
But you really do find a lot about coaches when you go through these kinds of things. And first it's the longest game since the merger. Okay, that's a lot to handle. And then it's my starting quarterback can't really feel his fingers very well. That's a lot to handle too. And instead of everyone freaking out, they won. And that just tells me a lot because, you know, it's not, I mean, it's nice that they won, okay, and it's nice that Gabbert went out there and played, you know, well enough, and all those things are fine. The main thing is that nobody freaked out. Everyone, you know, in the locker room kind of seemed to take a deep breath and just move forward with the hand they were dealt 2 weeks in a row. So I think it was really, really encouraging, and I don't care how it looked. I mean, obviously it wasn't the prettiest victory in the whole world.
Right.
But it's like when, you know, I play golf and I hit three bad shots in a row and then chip in for par. I mean, on the scorecard, it all looks the same.
Another tall order this week is they go to Jacksonville, and we saw what Jacksonville did last week.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I mean, that is, you know, and it's weird to talk about a Jacksonville team as sort of a juggernaut, but that defense is, you know, maybe the best in the NFL. And I know that because I watched what they did to Tom Brady. And that, you know, I've seen that Patriots game that we saw last week a million times. It always ends with Brady throwing a touchdown to, like, you know, Julian Edelman, who's, you know, obviously wasn't on the field Sunday, but, you know, someone doesn't have a lot of trusty receivers to name right now, honestly. But it always ends with Brady throwing a touchdown. And this time it didn't. And Bortles was good enough where they trusted him down the stretch. The defense was good enough where it stopped a potential comeback. It is going to be an insanely physical game. Jaguars are really good.
Well, Ian, we appreciate the visit. We look forward to chatting with you every Wednesday during the football season. We appreciate it.
All right. Look forward to it, too. Thank you, guys.